I think we have a winner.
Chapter 25. Look, here! The girls gathered around my screen as I pointed to the name on the manifest. Tim Sawtons. There's nothing on him anywhere, and I get a creepy feeling even saying his name. Intuition is a strange thing, Freya said. Veda, is there some secret, deep, dark place on the web that you could try to find him that we don't know about?
Sure, of course, Veda said, nodding. She went to typing as we waited.
Soon, she turned her screen to us.
This is it.
I read the screen. It was a scanned copy of a credit card application. The name at the top was Tim Sawtons.
So, whoever he is, he has a credit card, I laughed.
Delaney leaned in to get a closer look.
Oh, she said happily, that's definitely Austin Simmons.
We all simultaneously turned our heads, waiting for her to elaborate, which she seemed not to notice. Finally, Veda waved her hand towards the screen.
Do you want to tell us why? She asked.
Sure, Delaney said casually. Check out the letters in the name. It's not a direct anagram, but they are very close, especially phonetically, to being able to spell out Austin Simmons.
For the next 2 minutes, we all rearranged the letters in our minds.
How did you do that so quickly?
Sophie asked when we were satisfied that Delaney was right.
That's a great question, Delaney replied happily, then shrugged. I have no idea. I've always been able to do it.
Veda turned her screen back towards her. The article about Austin Simmons did mention credit card fraud. It would make sense. He had to pay for his ticket onto the ship somehow, and this is dated 3 weeks before the ship sailed. How is it on the internet, though? I asked her. That far back, there wasn't an option to scan and upload something like that.
When large storage availability became a thing, a lot of companies hired people to scan old documents so they wouldn't lose information but could ditch paper copies. Credit card companies and medical facilities were among those who used the services the most, Veda explained. It wasn't a perfect process, and system crashes were very common, but some did stick.
So we have the name of the maybe shapeshifter,
Sophie growled.
I swear, if that man is a shifter, I'm going to eat him.
Down, girl, Freya joked. If he's poisonous, he may taste like shit, and I know how you love your food.
Freya's humor got Sophie laughing. She really was upset about the possibility of such evil being associated with her in any way, which didn't make sense. I tipped my head and looked at her.
We dealt with a damn werewolf, and you weren't this upset. Last I checked, a werewolf was a shifter. What gives?
Sophie sighed and sat back.
I guess there was just a different kind of evil behind it. Werewolves are said to lose control in their animal form, often causing harm without meaning to. It's not better, just different. A certain level of instinct-driven violence instead of intent to kill. This basilisk bullshit is very intentional. There's no way instinct could drive what is going on here.
Veda nodded quickly.
She's right. Basilisks are very intentional with their killing, so it seems.
Okay, I said sternly. It's time to give this a rest. We are all going to stir ourselves into an evil-caused depression if we sit here any longer. I'm going to order dinner and call the hospital. There's no way they haven't found something out about those bodies. I think we may have just been left out of the loop. I looked at Sophie.
Sophie, call your scientist friend and see what she thinks about the basilisk theory. Also, I don't like the idea, but we need to get back out to that ship and figure out how passengers are getting off on their own. All the people we saw were closed up in a room and seemed very disturbed at the thought of the doors opening.
Veda stood up, nodding.
I'll double-check our suits to make sure nothing needs to be repaired before we go back out.
Freya headed towards the door.
Give me a call when we are ready to go. I have to deal with some agency stuff before my assistant quits or demands a raise.
I'll check on my girls and meet you at Veda's place,
Delaney stated. When the others left, Sophie and I remained at the conference table. I smiled over at her as I pulled my phone out of my pocket. She shrugged, winked, and retrieved her own phone from her purse. I looked up the number to the morgue in my contacts and dialed. The other line rang 3 times before a tired male voice answered.
Morg.
Hello, this is Stephen Fenlon. I'm calling for the autopsy report on the Haven Mist ship victims.
Haven Mist? The man replied, confused.
I'd forgotten that Irving was the only one who knew the name of the ship.
The strange shriveled bodies. Oh, yes. One moment, please, he said.
Then the line went silent. A moment later, a woman's voice answered.
Stephen, hi, this is Dr. Candela.
Hello, doctor. I don't think we've met, I said, not recognizing the name.
No, we haven't, but Detective Irving filled me in on your involvement with the investigation, and I'm a fan of your blog,
Candela replied.
I was actually just about to call you.
What do you have for me? I asked, my curiosity piqued.
There have been some very interesting results from the chem lab regarding the bodies from the ship, she replied.
What kind of interesting are we talking about? I asked.
As I'm sure you have imagined, poison is involved, she started.
The issue is the type of poison. It's completely unidentifiable. We can tell that it is a biological compound, but the chemical makeup has never been seen before. Okay, so they were poisoned by something unidentifiable. As much as that is interesting, it's not really helpful, I said, being careful to sound polite.
The helpful part, at least I hope it helps, is we've determined that the poison is responsible for the shriveling of the bodies. Whatever it is, once introduced into the body, it binds with the cells, increasing their ability to retain water. However, the binding is only stable when there is a healthy amount of circulation throughout the body. Think of centrifugal force. While it's moving, something can remain suspended in the air. But once it stops,
the object falls, I finished her sentence.
Yes, once circulation in the victims stopped, when they died, the poisoned cells released almost all the held fluid immediately, which drained back into the capillaries. Those are tiny blood vessels that lead back to the larger ones. The cells in the bloodstream that had bonded with the poison quickly absorb the fluids. This causes a pressure change that essentially pushes the blood further into the larger vessels, deeper in the torso, while the outside completely dehydrates. It is the most fascinating process I've ever seen.
I took a moment to picture what she was telling me. I had a limited education on the biological processes of the body, but what she said was easy enough to think out.
So the poison bonded differently with blood cells than it did with other types of tissue? Yes, it's like the tissues of the body wanted to get rid of the fluid, while the affected blood cells wanted to absorb it. And the only thing maintaining the balance was the circulatory process, she confirmed.
Just how do you go about figuring this out? I was curious.
Rats, of course, Candela replied. And don't go off on some animal rights kick. It's what we have to work with.
No judgment, I replied. So was dehydration the cause of death?
Actually, no. They all died of cardiac arrest, she answered. Each had an adrenaline overdose, and their heart basically exploded.
How the hell does that happen? I asked, thinking I already knew the answer.
They were scared to death, Candela said plainly.
How does being afraid get you an overdose of adrenaline? I asked.
It wasn't an overdose like the victims ingested it from an external source. Their own bodies released too much of it naturally when they were frightened. I've never seen those levels in humans before, and I'm still working to figure out how so much could have been produced, but it was definitely the cause of the cardiac arrest.
Candela went silent while I thought. Did you get the message about the IV marks on the arms? Are you sure they weren't injecting adrenaline? I asked, making what I felt was a logical connection.
Oh, yeah, the IVs, she replied. Believe it or not, the only thing found associated with the IV marks were saline solution and basic vitamins. They were taken in saline, like the kind you use to kick a hangover, or for basic rehydration.
We believe that the victims were searching for their IVs, I told her. Why would anyone crave saline?
I'm not that far yet. My working theory is that saline affects the circulation, essentially keeping up the pressure process within the cells of the body. As for the vitamins, I think that is how they were alive in the first place. All of them had completely empty stomachs, she said, morbidly fascinated.
Holy shit, I whispered, more to myself than her. Anything else unexplainable, dare I ask?
Only one, but I don't know if it will be helpful, really, Candela answered. Each brain had very specific neural pathways that were highly developed. They are very similar to each other.
What does that mean? Did the poison cause it? I asked, wishing I was a neuroscientist.
It means that these people thought about the same thing, or the same type of thing, for years on end, Candela began. Our brains develop links and pathways based on our thought processes. In fact, they can be reprogrammed if we try. However, the more a pathway is used, the more highly developed it becomes. It looked as though these people thought the same thoughts, with very little variance, for longer than I can say. And whatever it was they were thinking, it was similar from one to the next. Her voice was excited and awestruck at the same time.
Typical scientist, I muttered with a chuckle.
What was that? She asked, thankfully not having heard me.
Not a very typical scientific discovery, is it?
I sidestepped.
Not common, to say the least. I am working with a neurosurgeon to see if there's any way to tell what type of thoughts could cause those pathways to develop where they did. Brain mapping is still in its infancy, she replied.
Please let me know when you get that answer, if you do, I requested. Is there anything else?
That's all I have so far, she said. I'll be in touch when more results come in.
Oh, wait, I stopped her from hanging up. What about the body that didn't look scared?
There were a few of them in the last couple of days, Candela informed me. They experienced the same dehydrating effects as the original batch. They also died of heart attacks, but the adrenaline was missing from their systems. That is what led to my saline theory. Without it, if their tissues started expelling water into their bloodstreams, the volume of the blood would become too much for the heart to handle. I'm still working on confirming that, though.
One last thing, I said before we hung up. How was the poison induced? I crossed my fingers and hoped she didn't say what I thought she would.
It had to be ingested as a vapor, Candela reported.
My shoulders slumped. Vapor, as in, like, what we breathe out?
Exactly,
she replied. Great. That's just great, I muttered. Thank you, doctor. Our call ended, and I put my head in my hands, leaning on the table. Sophie put her hand on my shoulder, worried.
What's wrong?
I tipped my head to look over at her. Veda's theory about basilisks just got 1,000 times more likely to be correct.